You're listening to Cinema Jaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location at the original Mothers in Chicago. My name's Matt Kay, and with me is...
Rye the Movie Guy. How are we doing today, Matt?
I'm doing a lot better now.
Yes, because it's another Tuesday and another Cinema Jaw.
That's right. I look forward to this. I really do.
As do I. This week, we're flying solo, but we got a big topic to cover, and that is... Fall movie preview.
It's an important topic, Rye.
It is. These are when all the prestigious movies come out, obviously, because they're getting ready close to the end of the year. But also, you got some fun movies. There's, I think, an animated film and horror. And we'll get over everything. This is Cinema Jaw's fall movie preview.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Besides that, we got Eye for an Eye, Interested or Ignore on Resident Evil. You went to the premiere of Mole Man on Belmont Avenue.
The Mole Man of Belmont Avenue. Yes.
Thank you for the correction. So we got a review of that. Plus, I got reviews of Temple Grandin and The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Sweet.
All right. Plus, a whole lot more. Let's get started. Eye for an Eye, Matt.
I'm ready.
Resident Evil Afterlife. In a world ravaged by a virus infection, turning its victims into the undead.
Wait. You gotta do this in the movie preview guy voice.
In a world ravaged by a virus infection, turning its victims into the undead, Alice Mila Jovovich continues her journey to find survivors and lead them to safety. Her deadly battle with the Umbrella Corporation reaches new heights, but Alice gets some unexpected help from an old friend, a new lead that promises a safe haven from the undead. This takes them to Los Angeles, but when they arrive, the city is overrun by thousands of undead, and Alice and her comrades are about to step into a deadly trap. The director of the original Resident Evil, Paul W.S. Anderson, steps back into the directing chair. Matt, Interested or Ignore?
Interested.
Interesting, Matt. I wasn't sure what you were going to go on this one.
Well, it's not the 3D, because please, Hollywood, stop it with the 3D already. It's really getting hokey.
I'm going the other way on this one, and I'm giving this one an ignore. I'll tell you why, too.
Go for it.
And mine's very easy why I'm giving this ignore. I haven't seen any of the Resident Evils, to be honest with you.
Oh, really? You're missing out.
I've caught a couple parts, and... they look semi-entertaining, you know. I'm not going to totally bash them.
Yeah.
And I know Jen's dad actually is a big fan of the Resident Evils. And I was like, see him, telling me to see him, check him out.
I should.
But having not seen any of them, I really have no interest level of this one.
Yeah, you can't start there. That's right. Not the jumping on point. But now let me ask you, have you ever played any of the video games?
I have played a couple of the video games, have never finished them. And I'm a video game guy. I'll play a Zelda, I'll play a Mario here and there, and go all the way till the end. The Resident Evils, it's one of those games either I get for Christmas or something. I play it for a little while. I'm sick of trying to find the typewriters to save my game, and I end up just quitting after a while.
Well, the first couple games, it was revolutionary, though. By today's standards, they're a little slow.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, it was truly creepy.
It was. It is really the biggest, like, horror video game out there that creeped people out and was an adventure.
Yeah, it pretty much... coined the term survival horror and pretty much invented a genre of video games. But we're talking movies.
Yeah, and to be honest, this is probably the most successful video game franchise that's turned into a movie because nobody goes, what is this, maybe the fourth one?
I think it's the fifth one, really.
Fifth one, maybe. I mean, like I said, I haven't seen any of these, so I'm not keeping track. But, I mean, I don't see Prince of Persia after its dud of the summer coming out this year turning even a sequel out.
I don't know about that. You know, I think video game movies are starting to get their due, and it's really not the movie's fault. They suck. The movies suck.
Yeah.
It's not the video game's fault. I think now that video games are more and more part of our culture, the movies are getting better and better. That's my opinion.
True. And, I mean, people are more accepting of seeing a video game movie than they were, say, 5 years ago.
I hope so.
You know, the first Resident Evil came out, people were probably like, oh, God, it's based on a video game. I'm not going to see that. Where I think now, with the more and more coming out, people are getting a little bit more okay with the idea.
I hope so. I'm going to look up and see exactly how many there's been.
Yeah. Like I say, I'm not a fan, obviously, of this series. So either four or five.
Yeah, it's IMDb is taking forever to load, so we can move on. I'll get that fact. Oh, wait, here we go.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Resident Evil, Resident Evil Apocalypse, Resident Evil Extinction, and now Resident Evil Afterlife. So this would be the fourth film.
So the fourth one in the series. So That is a success right
and
there.
And all starring Mila Jovovich.
Yeah.
So.
This is really what she's known for, no doubt.
At this point, I would agree.
Yeah. All right, so we split on Resident Evil. Matt gives it an interested. I give it an ignore. Interesting, Matt.
I'm a zombie fan.
Yeah, you are a zombie fan, so it's right up your alley. It's interesting, too. We had John LaFlamboy on back, I don't know, somewhere in the 30s there. Great guest. He did comedy horror with us, and at the time he was promoting a movie that he was making, The Mole Man of Belmont Avenue.
Yes, and I had a chance to get to the premiere just this Sunday.
The world premiere was at the Music Box, was it
not? Yeah, the Music Box Theater over on Southport, man, which is just a great venue, man. Have you been there?
I have. It's wonderful theater.
It's fantastic.
It is.
And you get there, and the velvet curtain is down, and they had the projector just showing the logo on top of the curtain. It was a great effect. You know, it really set the tone of the room. It was a sellout crowd, and it was just really cool. I definitely recognize some of the ticket takers from John LaFlamboy's Haunted House projects.
Oh, that's great.
It was great. And they were totally in character once again, you know. They were like, tickets for Mo Man. You know, they just had that creepiness about them.
Right.
It was great.
Cool.
And John and his partner, Mike, were there in three-piece suits, you know. It was a big night for them, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear it. And let's hear about the movie.
It was really good. Freaking hilarious. So, Robert Englund is in this.
Right, who played Freddy Krueger.
Of Freddy Krueger fame. The cast is wonderful, but Mike Braddock and John LaFlamboy really steal the show. Now, you might not know these guys. They've got an IMDb page each. Mm-hmm. But Mike, I'm pretty sure, is doing a commercial right now. It's currently on for the USPS. If it's not him, it's his freaking brother. And I know for a fact that LaFlamboy did a Luna commercial.
Wow.
So, I mean, these guys are really struggling. I don't want to say struggling, but they're hardworking up-and-comers. And their premiere movie was hilarious, man. Mole Man it's a laugh riot. It's about these two idiot brothers, let's just say, who own a apartment building in Chicago. And there's a bar in this building, mm-hmm. and that's pretty much where they spend every scene. At the end of every scene, they're like, let's go to the bar. And they go to the bar. It's sort of the punctuation mark from scene to scene. They spend this time in the bar, and that's where the development happens.
Gotcha.
And it's good. It gets from point A to point B, and there's some really good laughs around the way. It's not as scary as I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, the Mole Man is mostly after the building's pets, but it's a lot funnier than I thought it was going to be.
Gotcha.
It's not a lot of blood, or any, really, but there's a few scary moments.
Yeah,
but,
not too much gore, I guess, is what you're trying to
there's
say.
There's none.
Gotcha.
But it's way more about the laughs on this one.
Yeah.
You know, it's more heavily weighted toward the comedy side of comedy horror. And I think maybe the length, they're still tweaking it.
Mm-hmm.
So the length, it was a little long. They could have tightened it up a little bit. But listen, man, this is an amazing accomplishment.
Wonderful. Glad to hear it.
The movie really, really rocked. I laughed my ass off. I'd go see it again in a heartbeat.
Great. And how many Jaws are you giving it?
I'm giving it, well, out of how many? What's max?
Out of four.
Four max?
Yeah.
I'd give this one a solid 3.5 Jaws.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Good to hear.
This is our new grading system.
Yes, our new grading system, the Jaws. I like it.
Me too.
All right. Now, speaking of reviews, I caught two very strong films I want to talk about early on so we don't run out of time. They're both out on DVD. The first one just won a bunch of Emmys because it was a made-for-TV movie for HBO. It is entitled Temple Grandin. Just off the heels of our biopic episode last week, Matt, comes the excellent true story of Temple Grandin. The movie was made by HBO Films and has been playing on HBO for a few months now, but just recently has become available on DVD. Claire Danes plays Temple and does an outstanding job, maybe your best performance yet. The story is remarkable. Temple Grandin has autism and many times is misunderstood by her students and teachers growing up, but that never stopped her. She eventually graduates from college, then earns her doctorate. She goes on to develop a humane methods of taking care of livestock headed for the slaughterhouse. She achieves this by looking at the world in a different way. Director Mick Jackson needs to be applauded as well. He really crafted a movie that showed you what the world might look like through Temple's eyes. The film is a celebration of Grandin's life, and it's a celebration I think everyone should see. The story, the acting, the directing are all brilliant. I'm giving this 4 Jaws.
Nice.
A grade of an A-. Temple Grandin.
Sweet.
Give it a spin.
Is he like a savant?
She.
She, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she. Well, you know, she has autism, and the whole time, the way they portray her mind working is that she sees the world and everything she learns in pictures. If you try to explain maybe another way, she just doesn't get it. But if she sees it in pictures and understands it that way, and by doing that, she actually goes and sees how the cattle and the livestock are being treated, and she then takes what she sees and perceives the world as the way they would probably perceive the world as they're being, you know, treated and moved around. And she comes up with this whole system of treating them in a more calmly way that would actually save all these companies money, because there's all these delays with the livestock of washing them and doing all this stuff, that she realized you could actually keep them calmer and doing things in a more humane way and calmer way, and it's even more cost efficient for these companies. And just absolutely brilliant.
Everybody wins.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's have a cheeseburger.
Absolutely great story. Claire Danes is awesome in it. So get that one. The other one, this movie has been talked about for a long time. It's The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I finally got around seeing it. It's based on the best-selling novel by Stieg Larsson. Comes this Swedish masterpiece. We start with two stories. One has a reporter, Mikkel, hired by a rich older man to solve the case of his missing niece some 40 years ago.
This is named The Dude?
Presumed to have been murdered. The second story involves a girl with a dragon tattoo, Lisbeth, who is a computer hacker with a troubled past. Soon the two storylines merge, and the result is a very well-told thriller. The new odd couple dig through odd clues to solve a crime that's been open for 40 years. It must be noted the film is dark, grisly, if you will, Matt. There is a graphic rape scene, among other difficult moments to watch. However, I felt more drawn into the story than most. There is a dark realism here. Please do yourself a favor and do not wait for the watered-down American versions that are in the works. Get out and rent this mysterious, suspenseful thriller now. I watched the film in Swedish with English subtitles. However, according to Jen's mom, Pat, English dubbing is done very well. I'm also giving this 4 Jaws in A-.
Wow.
Yeah. And it also should be noted that this is part one of a trilogy that has already been made in Sweden. The second one's coming out on DVD in October here in the U.S.
And that's The Girl That Kicked the Hornet's Nest?
That's the third one. The second one is The Girl Who Played with Fire.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, none of these sound like really fun things.
Oh,
you know?
Man, is it dark. I mean, yeah. It is gritty, dark. This rape scene in there is one of the... I mean, Jen was like covering her eyes while we were watching it. It's gruesome.
Yeah.
So... be prepared going in. And
have you ever seen I Spit on Your Grave?
No.
No? Okay.
But you
I was going
to
ask you worse than that. But,
yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. But yeah, very, very gruesome. But again, everything about the story from that point on just draws you in. I think because you're sort of freaked out by how dark some of the elements of the film are, just leads you into the mystery even more and more. Plays out beautifully.
I got to tell you, I am intrigued, and I know that these books are absolutely on fire at the moment.
Oh, man. They're topping the best-selling list for like... the last, like, 4 months.
Have you ever noticed this, though, and not to get off topic, but, like, books that are really dark and graphic and gritty, when they put them on the screen, usually speaking, this is usually, they don't do as well when people actually have to watch these scenes unfold. But
right.
People can read about the most gruesome, horrible stuff, but when you see it on the screen played by actors, it's tougher to sit through.
The eyes are powerful that way.
Yeah, I guess it's the power of images.
Yeah. So definitely check that one out, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Big fan.
Sweet.
Yeah. So that brings us into our fall movie preview. CinemaJaw is going to give you a guide of the biggest and best movies we're anticipating coming out from here to the end of the year. And there's some big ones, Matt.
I know. Seriously, my list is not all-inclusive. I have a few picks that I made, and there's so many more fantastic ones I'm sure I missed.
All right. And before we even get to our top 5 most anticipated, we both agree no one could choose Harry Potter because it's such a big movie coming out. That comes out in November. We're getting close to the end of the story here. This is the last book, but of course it's split into 2 movies.
Sure.
So this is part one of it, and then the following one comes up in the summer of next year.
Right.
So this is huge, you know.
This is the Harry Potter in the Trunk of Never-Ending Money. Hello!
Yeah, so that one comes out in November. I'm sure that's going to be the biggest moneymaker of the fall movie season.
Yeah.
There's really no doubt about it. So you can anticipate a huge blockbuster there with Harry Potter. But besides that, we're going to hopefully highlight a few unknowns as well.
I think so.
We got 5 to go over. Why don't you start us off, Matt?
All right, I'm going right off the bat. My number 5 will be in theaters October 8th of this year. It is the first script written by Wes Craven since 1994, and he's also the director. This is called My Soul to Take. Should I read the synopsis?
Sure, because I don't know anything about this one, Matt.
Yeah. In the sleepy town, this is really, really stock slasher movie stuff I'm about to read to you. In the sleepy town of Riverton, legend tells of a serial killer who swore he would return to murder the 7 children born the night he died.
Whoa.
Now, 16 years later, people are disappearing again. Has a psychopath been reincarnated as one of the 17s, or did he survive the night he was left for dead? Only one of the kids knows the answer. Adam Bug Heller, played by Max Thoreau, or Terrio, was supposed to die on the bloody night his father went insane. Unaware of his dad's terrifying crimes, he has been plagued by nightmares since he was a baby. But if Bug hopes to save his friends from the monster that's returned, he must face an evil that won't rest until it finishes the job it began the day he was born. Yeah. But wonderful. It's Wes Craven. I mean, seriously, that synopsis sucks.
Oh, boy. I tell you, this is a bit of a stretch. I can't say that I'm very interested in seeing it. I know you being a horror guy, I like that you stick to the roots here, Matt, and you're excited to see a new Wes Craven.
Wes Craven coming out in October. I'm sure we're going to be talking about this next month.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Maybe when we have John LaFlamboy back on the show to do horror films coming into Halloween.
Yeah, I put a lot of stock in Craven, so hopefully he won't disappoint.
Yeah, well, I'm going right to the bank on this one. Coming out September 22nd, my number 5 most anticipated film. Boy, I don't know the director very well. It's his name's Woody Allen. Oh, Woody Allen's got another
Woody
one coming
Allen's
out.
Woody Allen's put one out.
This one is called You Will Meet a Tall, Dark Stranger. Seems like Woody Allen can get anybody he wants. In this particular cast, he's got Josh Brolin, Naomi Watts, Antonio Banderas, and Anthony Hopkins.
Jeez.
And it's basically a Woody Allen. It sounds like there's Brolin is a struggling author who flirts with his new neighbor, played by Frida Pinto, who was the girl from Slumdog Millionaire.
Okay.
She's not hard on the eyes.
Hmm.
When he's not bickering with his wife, Naomi Watts. So it's a Woody
Allen.
Yeah,
this is classic
Allen. Yeah, classic Woody Allen. To be honest, I'm not expecting great things. I just put it on my number 5 just because it's a Woody Allen coming out in the fall. So let's get a little bit excited.
How many times is he going to make this film, though?
I know.
You know, it's an author who's married and he's hitting on some other chick.
Yeah, it's always usually a writer or some type of artist.
Right.
All the time. Every single time. He's an actor or doing something along those lines. But it's a good cast. It's got Woody Allen in it. And I really think you got to appreciate Woody Allen while we still got him around. So
I agree.
Yeah. So that was my number 5. What's your number 4, Matt?
My number 4, I'm going with a documentary. 6 rogue Ooh. Filmmakers explore the hidden side of everything. Hits theaters October 1st. Freakonomics.
Nice.
Are you familiar with
No.
This is based on the best-selling book of the same name. It's about an economist, Stephen D. Levitt, who uses statistics and theory to analyze pop culture.
Okay.
I haven't read the book. I've heard a lot about it. It
sounds interesting.
Yeah, they pretty much take stock of everything and sort of try to explain why things are the way they are using economics in a very applied nature. Applied economics.
Gotcha.
It's weird, dude. I can't claim to be too familiar with it. That's why I'm really stoked to see this film because I've heard a lot about it.
Got me interested just from that slight little intrigue right there.
How about it?
You're pulling me in.
Let me tell you who the director is here. I'm not too familiar. Alex Gibney. There's 3 director's credits here. Seth Gordon and Eugene Jarecki.
Okay.
Yeah. No familiar names there, but, you know, it's a documentary, so you don't have to have big stars doing this.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But yeah, interesting, interesting.
Yeah.
And what's the date of the release date on that one?
October 1st.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah.
All right, my number 4, it comes out September 15th. So we're going to be talking about this one very soon. I'm very intrigued by this one. The title of the film is Never Let Me Go. It stars Carey Mulligan, who is just in The Education, and also Keira Knightley. It's based on the 2005 best-selling novel, Never Let Me Go, same name. And I saw this trailer when I went and saw one of the films I saw, either Cyrus or Inception. It was the first time I'd actually flew totally underneath my radar. And it comes across as a period piece. It's got sort of a older look to the film. But yet there's a sci-fi underlying tone. You
Ooh,
don't
I
know
love
if
that.
These guys are clones. There's definitely something wrong with these people who are on the run. The whole time it starts out, I think, oh, this is 1940s Germany or something along those lines. I thought, oh, okay, we're looking at a period piece. And then as it's going on, you realize, like, oh, there's some undertones here, and it's definitely sci-fi. I didn't want to spoil it for myself, so I actually haven't dug that deep into the movie because I'm so afraid that I'm going to uncover exactly what the whole...
And you've done this before.
Little secret is, oh, yeah, I've burned movies on myself just by looking too much into them. Like, oh, now I know that, you know, he's a ghost or he's da-da-da. And so I don't want to do it here, so I don't know the twist. I researched the book because I thought if... I didn't know when the movie came out. If there was enough time, I was actually going to try to read the book before the movie. But it coming out... September 15th.
No time.
No time. Yeah. No time. I'm just going straight for the movie when it comes out.
Hey, speaking of books, did you ever finish Abe Lincoln?
I did. Yeah. Abe Lincoln, Vampire Slayer. I finished it and big fan.
When does that come out?
I think we got a year for that one. I think it's next year sometime.
I'm about three chapters left.
Nice.
I read real slow. It's not that I read slow. I just don't read every day. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. I got to find a time to read every day too. But
yeah, same here.
Yeah, definitely. So that was my number four. Never Let Me Go comes out September 15th.
Sounds
Check
cool.
that one out. What do we got, Matt?
All right. I guess that brings us to my number three. I'm going with an animated film. This is totally out of left field for me, dude. Is this one on your list?
Oh, boy.
It's a foreign film, too.
Oh, boy.
Should I go with the American name or the foreign name?
Let's go with the American name.
The Illusionist.
Wow.
It's an animated feature. Sony Pictures is putting this out, and I'm not familiar with this director at all. Sylvain Chomet, I'm guessing at the pronunciation here.
Okay.
It hits theaters December 25th, and I'll just read you the synopsis here. The film details the story of a dying breed of stage entertainer whose thunder is being stolen by emerging rock stars. Forced to accept increasingly obscure assignments in fringe theaters, garden parties, and bars, he meets a young fan who changes his life forever. And I think that synopsis doesn't do justice to the images that I saw in the trailer. This looks like old school rotoscoping animation, you know, where they animate over live action, but it's not. It's computer animation that doesn't look like computer animation. It's not slick. It's very sepia tone, very tone like.
Because you remember that Scanner Darkly with Keanu Reeves.
Yes, nothing like that.
Okay.
No. This is like more akin to like Disney stuff. It's actually the closest animated style I would attach to this. Although this will give you the wrong idea because the film I'm going to mention is in very bright colors. It's Despicable Me.
Okay.
But that's sort of how the figures look, a little more exaggerated.
Gotcha.
But it's very...
A little bit darker.
It's darker in the sense of the color palette, not the subject matter. It looks pretty whimsical and funny. It's a French film, obviously, and it's pretty interesting. I don't know, The Illusionist. I'm going to check this one out.
Yeah, sounds good. I like it. That brings us to number three anticipated film of the fall season for me. And I'm going with good old Clint. Clint Eastwood has a new movie coming out called Hereafter.
Really?
Yes.
Clint
Eastwood.
Is he in it?
No, he's directing.
Okay.
It's a supernatural thriller centered on three people, a blue-collar American, a French journalist, and a London schoolboy who are touched by death in different ways. It stars Matt Damon, Bryce Dallas Howard, and Jay Maurer.
Sounds
directed
awesome.
Directed by Clint Eastwood. It comes out October 22nd. I mean, how can't you be a little bit intrigued by that?
I am intrigued. You know what I think happened? I think Clint Eastwood went over to M. Night Shyamalan's house and said, "What are you doing next?" "No, you're not. I'm doing it."
Yeah. Your last three movies have sucked.
Doesn't it sound like an M. Night Shyamalan movie?
It really does. I agree. Yeah, because that Bryce Howard was in Lady in the Water.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, you're right. It could be. Switch the director, and I'd be staying away from this probably. But here in the hands of Clint Eastwood, I'm intrigued like all hell.
He hasn't let us down yet.
No, and he doesn't really tackle the subject matter all that often. Like a
supernatural, yeah.
I can't even picture it.
No,
so this
his stories are always really grounded, really rooted in like human.
Yes.
So this is a departure for him.
Yeah. So again, the name of the film is Hereafter, directed by Clint Eastwood, comes out October 22nd. That's my third most anticipated film.
That's going to be we're going to be talking about that come Oscar season.
Yeah. Sounds great.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's a shoo-in for an Oscar.
What do you got at number 2, Matt?
And let the record show that I called that right here and now. back in August. We're at what, number two already?
Yes.
Jeez, that went fast. I might have done six.
That's okay.
Yeah,
because we got an honorable mention after we're through.
Yeah, I think I actually. All right. Yeah, I read my honorable mention as my number five, but The Chronicles of Narnia, Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
And wow.
I know you're a little iffy on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that I said before we went on air, I said that I was a fan of the first one. The second one was just, and it's like, didn't give me any anticipation for the third
and
one.
And kind of what I was saying is that's sort of how the books go. The second one is not the best. This is the best book. I mean, this is probably the best book of the series. I mean, this is the... not the chamber. This is what was after Chamber of Secrets in Harry Potter. The Prisoner of Azkaban.
It was.
The third one is always the best one in books. So I'll read the synopsis here. Lucy, Edmund, and their cousin Eustace are drawn once again into the world of Narnia through a painting. They return, this is C.S. Lewis's beloved world via the fantastic Narnian ship, the Dawn Treader. They kind of, in this story, I'm breaking off from the synopsis. They travel around Narnia on Narnia's oceans, and they actually go to other places in the Narnian universe that aren't technically Narnia.
Gotcha.
So you learn a lot more about the world in this one. You learn a lot more about how the magic works between the two worlds, and you learn a lot more about what the fate of these two universes that are tied together is and what's at stake in this war. So basically, this is the one that really sets the stage for what's to come. And I remember reading this story when I was a kid and just reading it again and again and again. I love this one. Prince Caspian is the captain of the Dawn Treader. So he returns. We meet Eustace, who in the beginning of the story is a pretty despicable character. He may redeem himself.
All the kids of the family go back?
No. Just Lucy and Edmund.
Because in the first two, all of them went.
Right.
In both those. But now this one... Not the case.
Not the case. The two older kids, Peter and Mary, I'm guessing.
Right. I believe it is Mary, yeah.
Are too old. So now, like, Narnia only wants the children. So they go with Edmund and Lucy and this new guy, Eustace, who becomes pretty important toward the end of the story. We'll let you figure that out yourself.
All right. You sort of intrigues me. But like I said, I was let down for as great as the first one was. I remember thinking, wow, this could be a series that I'm just glued to. And the second one sort of let me down. So this is really going to make or break the series for
me.
Yeah,
it really will. And I think it'll make it.
All right. So here we go to my number two. Highly anticipated new film by the mastermind, Darren Aronofsky.
Oh.
Yes. December 1st, he has a new film coming out starring Natalie Portman called Black Swan.
I've heard about this.
Yes. Let me read the synopsis here for you. Nina, who is played by Natalie Portman, is a ballerina in New York City Ballet Company whose life, like all those who are in the profession, is completely consumed with dance. She lives with her obsessive former ballerina mother. When the artistic director decides to replace the prima ballerina, Beth, played by Winona Ryder, for the opening production of the new season, Swan Lake, Nina is his first choice. But Nina has competition, a new dancer, Lily, played by Mila Kunis from the 70s show.
Yeah, I love her.
As the two young dancers expand their rivalry into a twisted friendship, Nina begins to get more in touch with her dark side, a recklessness that threatens to destroy her. Now, you gotta see the trailer on this one. It comes off like it could just be like a drama about being in the ballet. But this is Darren Aronofsky. Of course, something goes way darker. And by the end, Natalie Portman has red eyes, and she pulls something out of her back that it looks almost like a alien claw in her shoulder. And she's asking, like, what's happening to me? And then it just goes to dark. Like, it leaves it, like, all of a sudden you thought, like, oh, this is just going to be a good drama about some ballet dancers, too. Whoa, there's something way more going on here.
Yeah, but knowing Aronofsky, that's probably, like, a hallucination scene or something that's not in the canon of the story, right?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
No, I don't know. Because he doesn't always tip onto the, paranormal or anything of that nature usually.
Right.
He usually is grounded in reality. So maybe she's on drugs or, you know, Noah Aronofsky or something along those lines.
Yeah.
But still, it has a twist in there that's going to be rather interesting. And this film looks very dark, no, which I like.
No one does hallucination scenes like Darren Aronofsky, man.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, seriously.
He's a master at it.
A master.
I mean, Requiem for a Dream is a masterpiece. Is it not, Matt?
Yes, and so is Pi.
Yeah.
You know, I've said my piece on Pi. It's it is what it is, but definitely a masterpiece.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to the whole hallucination, being inside someone's head.
Yeah, being inside a mad person's head. So.
Yeah, beautiful. So what's your most anticipated film of the fall?
My most anticipated film of the fall comes out October 1st.
Oh, boy.
Directed by David Fincher. The Social Network. The Facebook movie.
Yes.
I've become a social media whore. And there's no other word for it. Don't bleep that one out, Reno. I'm leaving this. Leave that word in. So, I mean, I'm on Twitter, Foursquare, Facebook, Hootsuite. I got 8 million social networks open in front of me all day. I have to do this for my job. This is part of my job.
That's what he says anyways.
Yeah, that's what I say anyway. So, which is, it's actually pretty cool. I get to, like, do Facebook for a living. But Jesse Eisenberg is going to play the Facebook CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, who you may or may not know about.
Sure.
Justin Timberlake is going to play Sean Parker, who is the Napster co-founder who became Facebook's founding president. And Andrew Garfield will play Eduardo Saverin. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. The Facebook co-founder who fell out with Zuckerberg over money. And the film will focus on the evolution of Facebook, the online social network created in 2004 on the Harvard campus, and how success and wealth changed the lives of the classmates who created it.
It's a very interesting story. Like I say, we've been doing this Cinema Jaw here for a year. We've been doing Hollywood headlines for a long time. And I can still remember when I was first reporting on the movie, I actually thought, they're making a Facebook movie? I thought this is so dumb. And it wasn't until I understood it was David Fincher. The score was being done by Trent Reznor. I saw the cast. I saw the trailer. And it's just been rolling towards turning me from thinking it was just a dumb Facebook movie into, I agree, one of the most anticipated films of the fall.
Yeah, it really is. And it's funny because the real Mark Zuckerberg is not behind this movie at all. And he's actually a little upset. And he said, I wished if they were going to make a film about me, they would have waited, you know, not done it in my lifetime.
Yeah, I hear that he has no plans to see this movie at all.
No. So, which actually kind of makes it a little more interesting for me.
Right.
And Zuckerberg, man, he's only like 26. I mean, 27. How old is this guy?
Yeah, that's what's interesting, too. We're talking about a story that just took place 6 years ago. Like you say, they invented it in 2004. So it's like...
Yeah, it just... But this is the age we live in now.
I know.
I mean, things happen, which is funny, because it's about Facebook, and now it's coming out. I mean, you know... Actually, this is really funny. There's a parody of the now-famous trailer. It's called The Twit Network, and it's about what if they made a Twitter movie.
Oh, boy.
And
let's hope they don't.
When we have our break, Rye, I'll show you this, and you can give your thoughts, maybe, but you'll enjoy it. I know you're a big Twitter fan.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so that's Matt's most anticipated film of the fall. As for mine, boy, oh, boy, the Coen brothers never seem to disappoint me, and I'm going with a Coen brothers film that is coming out. They are remaking John Wayne film True Grit.
Really?
Yes.
Get out of here.
Yes, True Grit. And here's the thing I read. Before I even read the synopsis, they're basically saying they're not remaking the John Wayne movie True Grit. They're just taking a different version of the book True Grit because theirs is going to be a little bit darker. Yada, yada, along those lines. But here is the synopsis of True Grit. Following the murder of her father by a hired hand, Tom Chaney, played by Josh Brolin, 14-year-old girl Maddie Rose
now.
Sets out to capture the killer. To aid her, she hires the toughest U.S. Marshal she can find, a man with true grit. I'm talking about Reuben J. Rooster Cogburn, played by Jeff Bridges. First time he's teamed up with the Coen brothers since The Dude. Maddie insists on accompanying Cogburn, who's drinking, he's sloth-like, and eventually, against his wishes, she joins him on his trek into Indian Nation in search of Chaney. They're also joined by a Texas Ranger, LaBeouf, played by Matt Damon, who wants Chaney for his own purposes. The unlikely trio now find danger and surprises on the journey, and each has his or her grit tested. Coen Brothers, comes out Christmas Day, December 25th. It's Oscar bait right away.
Wow. Yeah. Ring the bell, man.
I can't believe this
slipped under my radar. Yeah. I mean, Jeff Bridges playing a John Wayne role.
Yes.
And he's reunited with the Coen brothers for the first time since he played the dude in The Big Lebowski.
Enough said right there.
Dude, yeah.
Not to mention that Matt Damon's going to be in there, and you got Josh Brolin again in a Coen brothers. And they love these kind of like cowboy revenge, you know, heavy-driven dialogue films where they're funny, odd characters. I think this is going to be a smash.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, man.
It's going to be a dark film. And there's a lot of other films coming out there that we didn't even mention. These are our five most anticipated. Did you have another film on your list that you wanted to talk about?
I did. I have Jackass 3D, man.
Oh, nice.
It's the third installment in the Jackass, I guess you can call it a trilogy now. Comes out October 15th, of course. Johnny Knoxville, Steve-O, and all the crazy little Wee Man and the Jackass crew. And I'm sure they're going to be sticking things into holes where nothing belongs.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, no doubt.
In 3D, that's going to be hysterical.
Yeah, it's in 3D. So I'm sure they're going to use that for all its comic potential and, you know, pain-inducing stunts and antics abound.
Also on the comedy front, Little Fockers, the third.
Oh, man, they've been talking about this for years.
Yeah, so we'll see how that one flies over. Not on my radar. I'm not dying to see it. It'll probably, if anything, I'll go check it out when it hits DVD. You know what I mean?
I wasn't a big fan of Meet the Fockers. I love Meet the Parents. I could watch that one again and again and again.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
I got nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
Hysterical. But yeah, there's a lot of films coming out. So
what else you got? What about Tron?
Oh, right. Good thing you mentioned. That was the other one we wanted to mention. Tron in 3D.
Speaking of the dude.
That is going to be awesome.
Jeff Bridges.
That one comes out in December. And that's a film finally warranted of being in 3D.
I have got, before this comes out, because I know last time we talked about Tron, we were like, doesn't he get out at the end? And now I can't remember if he does or doesn't.
No.
It's probably been about 10 years since I've seen Tron.
And I have Tron in my collection sitting on my shelf. So I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to lend it to you as well.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm down.
So, perfect. There's also Secretariat.
Yeah.
I guess it's a biopic. It looks a little cheesy, but it could be all right.
It's a biopic about a horse.
Yeah. The last film, I had spoke of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and then there's The Girl Who Played with Fire is already out and about to come out on DVD. The third Swedish film, The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, comes out October 15th, so check that one out. There's a whole lot more. It's a fun time to go to the cinema.
Absolutely,
not
yeah.
to mention one other one opening up the Chicago International Film Fest. I got my tickets for it. Is going to be Stone, which is played by Ed Norton and also Robert De Niro.
I'm not familiar with this whatsoever.
It has something to do with. I haven't even researched it that well, and
should
I already have my tickets
up IMDb
to it.
Here?
Yeah, this film has Ed Norton in jail, I believe, and. Robert De Niro as his lawyer.
Wow, that's...
Right off the bat, you got some heavy actors.
Stone, S-T-O-N-E?
I believe so, yes.
I'm getting nothing on IMDb.
Oh, boy.
Nothing. Oh, well.
Yeah, we'll look it up in the break.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
So what do you think you want to take a break here?
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll come back. We got Hollywood headlines. Maybe we'll play some trivia. We'll at least see if Reno has seen it.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll be right back on Cinema Jaw.
Hi, I'm Matt Kay with a CinemaJaw movie fact. Concerning the 1982 film Tron, at the time, computers could generate static images only, but could not automatically put them into motion. Thus, the coordinates for each image, such as a light cycle, had to be entered for each individual frame. It took 600 coordinates to get 4 seconds of film. Each of these coordinates was entered into the computer by hand. And that is your CinemaJaw movie fact.
We are back here on Cinema Jaw. Matt, really quick, before we get to trivia, we were right with the name of the film is Stone. It stars Robert De Niro, Ed Norton.
Yeah, and it looks awesome. We checked out the trailer.
Yeah, check out the trailer. It's opening up the Chicago International Film Festival on October 7th. I'll be there and get your tickets. Fun guest we got coming up here. We're going to play a little trivia. Who do we got? Who's your opponent, Matt?
Well, we went and grabbed one from the bar, random drunk. This time, it happens to be Clifford Cliff Hawks, the DJ here at Mother's.
Welcome to Cinema Jaw, Cliff.
Glad to be here.
How's it going? Cliff is actually also a fellow zombie aficionado, so...
Ooh, really?
Yes, he is. If this were zombie trivia, it'd be on.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it's not zombie trivia. In honor of Michael Douglas's new small film and highly rated film coming to DVD this week, Solitary Man, plus he has the new Wall Street coming out, we got Michael Douglas trivia.
Jeez, where do you come up with these topics, dude?
Hey, tough crowd, tough crowd.
Clooney.
Now, Cliff, you're our guest. You get to choose if you want to go first or let Matt go first.
I'll feed Matt to the wolves.
You gonna let me go first?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Now, there are steals. If he doesn't know it, you get a chance. Here we go. Question number one to Matt. In 1989's War of the Roses, what actress played his wife who he was divorcing?
Kathleen Turner.
1-0, Matt. Cliff, 1-0, Matt.
I think you knew that one, huh?
I did.
All right.
We swing it over to Cliff. Question number two. Douglas teamed up with Sean Penn in this 1997 mysterious thriller. Also, should be noted it was directed by David Fincher. Sean Penn, Michael Douglas. We're playing a trivia game here.
Wait, that is the game.
Oh, jeez. Stop giving him hints.
One. All right, we swing it over to Matt. Greed
no hints
is
for a clip.
Good. Greed is good. The famous line from Wall Street. But what year did that film come out, Matt?
It was 1985.
Goody, you got a chance. I mean, Goody, Cliff, you got a chance for a steal. Got a chance for a steal.
I'm saying that's 84.
87. Unbelievable.
I was
going to
say 87.
I thought it was older than that.
Hey, it's still 1-1. This clue stays over to Cliff. Demi Moore starred opposite Michael Douglas in this corporate thriller. Demi Moore, Michael Douglas, a corporate thriller.
I have no idea.
Matt, you have a chance for a steal.
The Firm?
Disclosure. Disclosure. Come on, guys.
Jeez.
All right, full disclosure here. This one swings over to Matt. A sequel to Wall Street is due out in September, but before that, Douglas only starred in one other sequel. Name that film.
Oh, it was the sequel to Romancing the Stone, and it was, or it was Romancing the Stone, the sequel to Jewel of the Nile.
He named both films. We'll give it to him. It was Jewel of the Nile.
One
was the
two.
Sequel. Beautiful, right. Beautiful. 2-1, Matt, over to Cliff. The tagline for this Michael Douglas film was, "On the other side of drinks, dinner, and a one-night stand lies a terrifying love story."
Fatal Attraction.
2-2, we got a ball game here. This one swings over to Matt. We got two more questions here. Douglas played the president in The American President, but who played the first lady?
I believe that was his wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Swing it over to Cliff.
Wasn't that Annette Bening?
Jeez.
3-2, Cliff. He can win it outright right here. Last question. He has won two Oscars. One was for acting in Wall Street. The other one was for producing a Best Picture winner. What was the name of that film? He produced a Best Winner. Best Picture winner.
I know.
Matt, you can tie and we can go to a jawbreaker.
I'm going with Traffic.
Cliff's the winner. The answer was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He produced the film.
Really?
Unbelievable.
Huh.
Yes. Cliff, you're the winner. Before we let him get out of here, we did have some jawbreakers in case there was a tie.
Yeah. Screw you, Cliff. There, I just said
congratulations,
it.
Congratulations, Cliff. Great win. Really quick. Better sexual thriller, Fatal Attraction or Basic Instinct?
Basic Instinct.
Got to agree with him there. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Matt, Demi Moore in Disclosure or Sharon Stone in Basic Instinct?
Sharon Stone in Basic Instinct.
What? I'm taking Demi Moore.
Demi
in
her
Disclosure.
Prime? Oh.
Oh, but come on with the crossed legs. That is a movie moment.
I'm still going Demi Moore in Disclosure.
We talk about sex in the cinema. You know, that always comes up.
All right. Last jawbreaker. Last jawbreaker. We'll start this one with you, Matt. Age of Michael Douglas.
He's getting on. And, you know, I think his dad is still alive. I mean, they got some longevity genes in that family. I would put his age at 64.
Your guess, Cliff?
65.
He's a ringer, Cliff. 65 years old.
Oh, I was
congratulations
darn close.
On the win. Thanks
it was
for
a pleasure.
Playing.
$1, Bob.
Yeah, whatever. Awesome. Awesome. That was great.
Thanks, Cliff.
Thanks a lot, Cliff. All right. So some Hollywood headlines before we got to
I'm disgusted now.
I tell you, Matt, you lost again. That was a close game, but Cliff
I won two in a row here against Roker and Julia Shell.
And that was enough. Here we go. Hollywood headlines. Get this one, Matt. John Cusack will be channeling Edgar Allan Poe in director James McTeague's The Raven, based on a fictional script from Hannah Shakespeare and Ben Livingston.
No relation.
The Raven follows Poe's final 5 days when a serial killer uses Poe's stories as inspiration for a killing spree.
John Cusack?
Correct.
I can see it. Interested.
I'm not interested.
What?
I think it's a bad idea.
Oh, come on, man.
Cusack as Poe? No way.
I can see it.
Get back to the hot tub time machine.
All right, I got one for you. Though both Fantastic Four and its sequel, Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer, turned a profit, both movies were heavily criticized and neither managed to strike a chord with diehard comic book fans. The third movie, tentatively titled Fantastic Four Reborn, will be a complete reboot of the franchise.
Oh, boy.
And rumor has it Adrian Brody will play Mr. Fantastic. What?
That still does nothing for me. I didn't see any of these movies. I don't care for these movies. You're a comic book fan. Maybe you got a little insight here. But for me, the reboot does nothing.
Honestly, I think Marvel has tapped into the movie business model, like the Fountain of Youth. Just keep rebooting it every 3 years.
And the audiences keep buying it. I don't know why.
And they always will, because everyone loves a good origin.
It's terrible. All right, get a load of this, Matt. Angelina Jolie has found her next project, a romance set during the 1992-95 Bosnian War. And get this, Matt, Jolie may be stepping behind the camera to direct her first feature film. And it would be from her own script, nonetheless.
Well, I will reserve judgment.
I think
I think she might have it.
Yeah, I mean, she's serious about her craft, not just in acting, but I think the whole movie business in general. I'm interested.
She's not just a pretty face, Rye.
I agree.
We'll see what she's got. All right, I got another one. It's interesting when a story goes from a star joking or idly mentioning an off-the-cuff idea to a full-blown story that is circulating the internet. Justin Bieber told The Sun that he'd love to star in a remake of Grease as bad boy Danny Zuko, with Miley Cyrus as the innocent Sandy Olsen.
That is terrible. Let's hope it's only a rumor. I don't want to see them ever remake Grease, and especially with Justin Bieber.
Yeah, Justin Bieber. I don't know, man.
That is terrible. Let's stay far away from that idea.
I agree.
Hey, more bad news for Blockbuster, Matt. Google is reportedly in talks with major movie studios to launch full-length video rentals on YouTube by year's end.
This is already in beta, as a matter of fact.
It's amazing.
You can go to Google and YouTube, as it's also known, and watch full movies on there. Just a few very select titles are up, but it's crazy.
There's no doubt it was coming. I'm not shocked by it.
Here's the question. Is this a Netflix killer?
It could be. You're not kidding. It's going to rival Netflix. That was the headline that I didn't read. Is that who they're going after? Not even Blockbuster. They're skipping right by the competition of Blockbuster. They're going for Netflix.
Yeah, let's seriously call it as how it is. Blockbuster's dead.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. They're floundering fish at this moment.
Yeah, no doubt.
But
they're like the fish in the Faith No More video on the piano.
I think this is another step for Google to take over the world. I mean, they're entering the movie market. This is crazy. But, I mean, they got the property with YouTube, and why not?
I agree.
I think it's a viable way to get your films in the future. We're going to be renting movies from YouTube. All right, I got a famous tweet.
Ooh, a famous tweet?
Yes, Ben Stiller tweeted this week. Is there a decoder book for Glenn Beck speeches?
Not sure, but I could use one.
Yeah.
All right, I got a famous tweet. Let's see who wins on the tweet off here.
All right, tweet it off.
All right, I got a famous tweet from Roger Ebert, tweeted this week. Without Twitter, I would have never known that Bristol Palin was on Dancing with the Stars. Which stars is she dancing with?
Is she a star?
I don't think so. Yeah. I think that's what he was hinting at there.
Yeah.
We'll give it to Roger Ebert.
Yeah, we'll give it to Roger. Not me.
We got a couple minutes left. It's a segment that's been taken off like gangbusters.
Okay.
Has Reno seen it?
It's just me?
Just you.
It's playing against myself.
Yes, exactly. You have not yet completed a full cycle of getting 100% of these.
Okay.
We got five films. Reno's ready. He's the greatest producer of podcast history, but he shocks us at times by not seeing some classic films.
Yeah, not that he's not a film fan. He's a busy guy.
Yes, he is. So we came up with this segment, Has Reno Seen It? All right, Matt.
I'm
five
ready.
Films. We're going in order. You tell me, has Reno seen it or has he not?
Okay.
First film of question. In 1996, a little film called Mission Impossible came out, starring Tom Cruise. Matt, has Reno seen it?
96? Yeah. Reno's seen it.
Reno, have you seen Mission Impossible?
No, I have not.
Oh, wow. There goes my 100%.
There goes your 100%. At this point, you're just...
Right off the bat.
Yes. At this point, you're just...
You haven't seen anything, man.
I've seen quite a few.
He has.
Just not that one.
I know what to get you for Christmas.
Movies?
I'm going to get you a Netflix account.
There you go.
All right. In 1992, boy, this is when we liked her. Whitney Houston starred opposite Kevin Costner in The Bodyguard. Matt, has Reno seen The Bodyguard?
No.
Reno.
No, I have not.
I don't think if he had all the time on his hands in the world, he would even think about seeing The Bodyguard.
He has not seen The Bodyguard. All right. Also in 1992, Clint Eastwood gave us a Best Picture winner in The Unforgiven. Has Reno seen The Unforgiven?
I know he's an Eastwood fan, but I'm going with no on this one. Hasn't seen
Reno,
it.
Reno, have you seen The Unforgiven?
I have not seen that one.
Sweet.
You got two out of three so far, Matt. You're saving face here. We got two more. In 1988, a film came out called Tucker, The Man in His Dream. Jeff Bridges starred in this film.
Nobody saw that.
Has Reno seen it?
No.
Reno, have you seen Tucker, A Man in His Dream?
I own it.
Get out of town.
Yes, I do. Great movie.
Whoa, he's a car guy. I should have thought about
you
that for a minute.
You should have known that.
I should have thought
you
about that.
You know me better than that.
Yes. So now you're...
But that's about the Model T Ford, right?
No, it's about the Tucker.
The right. Tucker.
That's why
Tucker
they called
the
it
car.
Tucker.
Yes. All right. It's all making sense.
All right. Here we go. Last question to stay above the 50% line.
Okay.
Two right, two wrong. 1983 classic, The Right Stuff. Has Reno seen The Right Stuff?
80s movie, huh? Yeah, he's seen it.
Reno, have you seen The Right Stuff?
Yes, I have.
Hey, you got 3 out of 5.
All right.
You're above the 50 percentile.
There we go. I'm above 500.
So now you know what to get Reno for Christmas.
Yeah, Netflix account. It's happening, too.
Absolutely.
I think you can get Netflix cards at the store. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
If not,
I'm still a Blockbuster guy. We talk about this all the time.
You got to get off of the Blockbuster, dude.
Seriously. Still on the Blockbuster. I use Redbox as a supplement every once in a while. But like I say, I love the idea of going to get the new movie when it comes out on a Tuesday and being able to go right to the store with the mailer that they gave me and getting the new one. I don't want to, it skipped the number one on the queue. I want to get the one that I want.
You're going to be hard-pressed to find a store pretty soon.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. But at least I'll clear them out of their library when they're going out of business at the same time.
They're going belly up, man.
Yeah. But it's the end of an era for Blockbuster. But
it is. The end of an era for us all.
Yeah, but a new era dawns on us with Google taking over and Netflix and whatnot.
Thank you, YouTube.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So it brings us to an end of another Cinema Jaw.
I know. It's always slightly depressing, but, there's next week to look forward to, right?
Yeah, there always is. This was the fall movie edition, and I think we covered a lot of good topics here.
I agree. So thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks to PBR for sponsoring us.
All our fans on Facebook and Twitter, and our amazing producer, Reno.
Yeah, thanks again, Reno. Always email us any suggestions you got at mattandrye@cinemajaw.com. Check us out on Stranger Days Radio.
That's it. We'll see you next week.
Take care.
is the captain of the Don Treader. So he returns. We meet Eustace, who in the beginning of the story is a pretty despicable character. He may redeem himself.
Do all the kids of the family go back?
No. Just Lucy and Edmund.
Because in the first two, all of them went.
Right.
In both those. But now this one, not the case.
Not the case. The two older kids, Peter and Mary, I'm guessing.
Right. I believe it is Mary, yeah.
Are too old. So now, okay. Like, Narnia only wants the children. So they go with Edmund and Lucy and this new guy, Eustace, who becomes pretty important toward the end of the story. We'll let you figure that out
all
for
right.
yourself.
All right. You sort of intrigued me. But like I said, I was let down for as great as the first one was. I remember thinking, wow, this could be a series that I'm just glued to. And the second one sort of let me down. So this is really going to make or break the series for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it really will. And all I right. think it'll make it.
All right. So here we go to my number two. Highly anticipated new film by the mastermind, Darren Aronofsky.
Oh.
Yes. December 1st, he has a new film coming out starring Natalie Portman called Ooh. Black Swan.
I've heard about this.
Yes. Let me read the synopsis here for you. Nina, who is played by Natalie Portman, is a ballerina in New York City Ballet Company whose life, like all those who are in the profession, is completely consumed with dance. She lives with her obsessive former ballerina mother. When the artistic director decides to replace the prima ballerina, Beth, played by Winona Ryder, for the opening production of the new season, Swan Lake, Nina is his first choice. But Nina has competition, a new dancer, Lily, played by Mila Kunis from the 70s show.
Yeah, I love her.
As the two young dancers expand their rivalry into a twisted friendship, Nina begins to get more in touch with her dark side, a recklessness that threatens to destroy her. Now, you got to see the trailer on this one. It comes off like it could just be like a drama about being in the ballet, but this is Darren Aronofsky. Of course, something goes way darker. And by the end, Natalie Portman has red eyes, and she pulls something out of her back that it looks almost like a alien claw in her shoulder. And she's asking, like, what's happening to me? And then it just goes to dark. Like, it leaves it, like, all of a sudden you thought, like, oh, this is just going to be a good drama about some ballet dancers,
yeah.
too. Whoa, there's something way more going on here.
Yeah, but knowing Aronofsky, that's probably, like, a hallucination scene or something that's not in the canon of the story,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
Or no, I don't know. Because okay. he doesn't always tip onto the, you know, what do I want to say? The paranormal or anything
no.
of that nature usually.
Right.
He usually is grounded in reality. So maybe she's on drugs or, you know, knowing Aronofsky or something along those lines.
Yeah.
But still, it has a twist in there that's going to be rather interesting. And this film looks very dark, no, which I like.
No one does hallucination scenes like Darren Aronofsky, man.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, seriously.
He's a master at it.
A master.
I mean, Requiem for a Dream is a masterpiece. Is it not, Matt?
Yes, and so is Pi.
Yeah.
You know, I've said my piece on Pi. It's,
yeah.
It is what it is, but definitely a masterpiece.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to the whole hallucination, being inside someone's head.
Yeah, being inside a mad person's head. So.
Yeah, beautiful. So what's your most anticipated film of the fall?
My most anticipated film of the fall comes out October 1st.
Oh, boy.
Directed by David Fincher. The Social Network. The Facebook movie.
Yes.
I have become a social media whore. And there's no other word for it. Don't bleep that one out, Reno. I'm leaving this. Leave that word in. So, I mean, I'm on Twitter, Foursquare, Facebook, Hootsuite. I got 8 million social networks open in front of me all day. I have to do this for my job. This is part
right.
of my job.
That's what he says anyways.
Yeah, that's what I say anyway. So, which is, it's actually pretty cool. I get to, like, do Facebook for a living. But Jesse Eisenberg is going to play the Facebook CEO, Mark Zuckerberg, who you may or may not know about.
Sure.
Justin Timberlake is going to play Sean Parker, who is the Napster co-founder who became Facebook's founding president. And Andrew Garfield will play Eduardo Saverin. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. The Facebook co-founder who fell out with Zuckerberg over money. And the film will focus on the evolution of Facebook, the online social network created in 2004 on the Harvard campus, and how success and wealth changed the lives of the classmates who created it.
It's a very interesting story. Like I say, we've been doing this Cinema Jaw here for a year. We've been doing Hollywood headlines for a long time. And I can still remember when I was first reporting on the movie, I actually thought, they're making a Facebook movie? I thought this is so dumb. And it wasn't until I understood it was David Fincher. The score was being done by Trent Reznor. I saw the cast. I saw the trailer. And it's just been rolling towards turning me from thinking it was just a dumb Facebook movie into, I agree, one of the most anticipated films of the fall.
Yeah, it really is. And it's funny because the real Mark Zuckerberg is not behind this movie at all. And he's actually a little upset, and he said, "I wished if they were going to make a film about me, they would have waited, you know, not done it in my lifetime."
Yeah, I hear that he has no plans to see this movie at all.
No. So, which actually kind of makes it a little more interesting for me,
right?
And Zuckerberg, man, he's only like 26. I mean, 27. How old is this guy?
Yeah, that's what's interesting too. We're talking about a story that just took place 6 years ago. Like you say, they invented it in 2004. So it's like.
Yeah, it just but this is the age we live in now.
I know.
I mean, things happen, which is funny because it's about Facebook and now it's coming out. I mean, you know, actually, this is really funny. There's a parody of the now famous trailer. It's called The Twit Network, and it's about what if they made a Twitter movie.
Oh, boy.
And
let's hope they don't.
When we have our break, Rye, I'll show you this, and you can give your thoughts maybe, but you'll enjoy it. I know you're a big Twitter fan.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so that's Matt's most anticipated film of the fall. As for mine, boy, oh, boy, the Coen brothers never seem to disappoint me, and I'm going with a Coen brothers film that is coming out. They are remaking John Wayne film True Grit.
Really?
Yes.
Get out of here.
Yes, True Grit. And here's the thing I read, before I even read the synopsis, they're basically saying they're not remaking the John Wayne movie True Grit, they're just taking a different version of the book True Grit, because theirs is going to be a little bit darker. Yada yada along those lines. But here is the synopsis of True Grit. Following the murder of her father by a hired hand, Tom Chaney, played by Josh Brolin, 14-year-old girl Maddie Rose
now.
Sets out to capture the killer. To aid her, she hires the toughest U.S. Marshal she can find, a man with true grit. I'm talking about Reuben J. Rooster Cogburn, played by Jeff Bridges. First time he's teamed up with the Coen brothers since The Dude. Maddie insists on accompanying Cogburn, who's drinking, he's sloth-like, and eventually, against his wishes, she joins him on his trek into Indian Nation in search of Chaney. They're also joined by a Texas Ranger, LaBeouf, played by Matt Damon, who wants Chaney for his own purposes. The unlikely trio now find danger and surprises on the journey, and each has his or her grit tested. Coen Brothers comes out Christmas Day, December 25th. It's Oscar bait right away.
Wow. Yeah. Ring the bell, man. I can't
now
believe this
interested.
Slipped under my radar. Yeah. I mean, Jeff Bridges playing a John Wayne role.
Yes.
And he's reunited with the Coen brothers for the first time since he played the dude in The Big Lebowski.
Enough said right there.
Dude, yeah.
Not to mention that Matt Damon's going to be in there, and you got Josh Brolin again in a Coen brothers. And they love these kind of like cowboy revenge, you know, heavy-driven dialogue films where they're funny, odd characters. I think this is going to be a smash.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, man.
It's going to be a dark film. And there's a lot of other films coming out there that we didn't even mention. These are our five most anticipated. Did you have another film on your list that you wanted to talk about?
I did. I have Jackass 3D, man.
Oh, nice.
It's the third installment in the Jackass, I guess you can call it a trilogy now. Comes out October 15th, of course. Johnny Knoxville, Steve-O, and all the crazy little Wee Man and the Jackass crew. And I'm sure they're going to be sticking things into holes where nothing belongs.
No doubt about it.
Yeah,
and
no
in
doubt.
In 3D, that's going to be hysterical.
Yeah, it's in 3D. So I'm sure they're going to use that for all its comic potential and, you know, pain-inducing stunts and antics abound.
Also on the comedy front, Little Fockers, the third.
Oh, man, they've been talking about this for years.
Yeah, so we'll see how that one flies over. Not on my radar. I'm not dying to see it. It'll probably, if anything, I'll go check it out when it hits DVD. You know what I mean?
I wasn't a big fan of Meet the Fockers. I love Meet the Parents. I could watch that one again and again and again.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
I got nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
Hysterical. But yeah, there's a lot of films coming out. So
what else you got? What about Tron?
Oh, right. Good thing you mentioned. That was the other one we wanted to mention. Tron in 3D.
Speaking of the dude.
That is going to be awesome.
Jeff Bridges.
That one comes out in December. And that's a film finally warranted of being in 3D.
I have got, before this comes out, because I know last time we talked about Tron, we were like, doesn't he get out at the end? And now I can't remember if he does or doesn't.
No.
It's probably been about 10 years since I've seen Tron.
And I have Tron in my collection sitting on my shelf. So I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to lend it to you as well.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm down.
So, perfect. There's also Secretariat.
Yeah.
I guess it's a biopic. It looks a little cheesy, but I could be all right.
It's a biopic about a horse.
Yeah. The last film, I had spoke of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and then there's The Girl Who Played with Fire is already out and about to come out on DVD. The third Swedish film, The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, comes out October 15th, so check that one out. There's a whole lot more. It's a fun time to go to the cinema.
Absolutely.
Not to mention one other one. Opening up the Chicago International Film Fest, I got my tickets for it, is going to be Stone, which is played by Ed Norton and also Robert De Niro.
I'm not familiar with this whatsoever.
It has something to do with... I haven't even researched it that well. And
should
I already
I
have
fire
my tickets
up IMDb
to it.
Here?
Yeah. This film has Ed Norton in jail, I believe, and... Robert De Niro as his lawyer.
Wow, that's...
Right off the bat, you got some heavy actors.
Stone, S-T-O-N-E?
I believe so, yes.
I'm getting nothing on IMDb.
Oh, boy.
Nothing. Oh, well.
Yeah, we'll look it up in the break.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
So what do you think you want to take a break here?
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll come back. We got Hollywood headlines. Maybe we'll play some trivia. We'll at least see if Reno has seen it.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll be right back on Cinema Jaw.
Hi, I'm Matt Kay with a CinemaJaw movie fact. Concerning the 1982 film Tron, at the time, computers could generate static images only, but could not automatically put them into motion. Thus, the coordinates for each image, such as a light cycle, had to be entered for each individual frame. It took 600 coordinates to get 4 seconds of film. Each of these coordinates was entered into the computer by hand. And that is your CinemaJaw movie fact.
We are back here on Cinema Jaw. Matt, really quick, before we get to trivia, we were right with the name of the film is Stone. It stars Robert De Niro, Ed Norton.
Yeah, and it looks awesome. We checked out the trailer.
Yeah, check out the trailer. It's opening up the Chicago International Film Festival on October 7th. I'll be there and get your tickets. Fun guest we got coming up here. We're going to play a little trivia. Who do we got? Who's your opponent, Matt?
Well, we went and grabbed one from the bar, random drunk. This time, it happens to be Clifford Cliff Hawks, the DJ here at Mother's.
Welcome to Cinema Jaw, Cliff.
Glad to be here.
How's it going? Cliff is actually also a fellow zombie aficionado, so...
Ooh, really?
Yes, he is. If this
pretty
was
hardcore.
Zombie trivia, it'd be on.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it's not zombie trivia. In honor of... Michael Douglas's new small film and highly rated film coming to DVD this week, Solitary Man, plus he has the new Wall Street coming out. We got Michael Douglas trivia.
Jeez, where do you come up with these topics, dude?
Hey, tough crowd.
Clooney.
Now, Cliff, you're our guest. You get to choose if you want to go first or let Matt go first.
I'll feed Matt to the wolves.
You gonna let me go first?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Now, there are steals. If he doesn't know it, you get a chance. Here we go. Question number one to Matt. In 1989's War of the Roses, what actress played his wife who he was divorcing?
Kathleen Turner.
1-0, Matt. Matt.
I think you knew that one, huh?
I did.
All right.
We swing it over to Cliff. Question number two. Douglas teamed up with Sean Penn in this 1997 mysterious thriller. Also, should be noted it was directed by David Fincher. Sean Penn, Michael Douglas. We're playing a trivia game here.
Wait, that is the game.
Oh, jeez. Stop giving him hints.
One. All right. We swing it over to Matt. Greed
no hints
is
for a clip.
Good. Greed is good. The famous line from Wall Street. But what year did that film come out, Matt?
It was 1985.
Shit. Goody, you got a chance. I mean, Goody. Cliff, you got a chance for a steal. Got a chance for a steal.
I'm saying that's 84.
87. Unbelievable.
I was
going to
say 87.
I thought it was older than that.
Hey, it's still 1-1. This clue stays over to Cliff. Demi Moore starred opposite Michael Douglas in this corporate thriller. Demi Moore, Michael Douglas, a corporate thriller.
I have no idea.
Matt, you have a chance for a steal.
The Firm?
Disclosure. Come on, guys.
Jeez.
All right, full disclosure here. This one swings over to Matt. A sequel to Wall Street is due out in September, but before that, Douglas only starred in one other sequel. Name that film.
It was the sequel to Romancing the Stone, and it was Romancing the Stone, the sequel to Jewel of the Nile.
He named both films. We'll give it to him. It was Jewel of the Nile.
One
was the
two.
Sequel. Beautiful, right. Beautiful. 2-1, Matt, over to Cliff. The tagline for this Michael Douglas film was, "On the other side of drinks, dinner, and a one-night stand lies a terrifying love story."
Fatal Attraction.
2-2, we got a ball game here. This one swings over to Matt. We got two more questions here. Douglas played the president in The American President, but who played the first lady?
I believe that was his wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Swing it over to Cliff.
Wasn't that Annette Bening?
Jeez.
3-2, Cliff. He can win it outright right here. Last question. He has won 2 Oscars. One was for acting in Wall Street. The other one was for producing a Best Picture winner. What was the name of that film? He produced a Best Winner. Best Picture winner.
Nah, no.
Matt, you can tie and we can go to a jawbreaker.
I'm going with Traffic.
Cliff's the winner. The answer was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He produced the film.
Really?
Unbelievable.
Huh.
Yes. Cliff, you're the winner. Before we let him get out of here, we did have some jawbreakers in case there was a tie.
Yeah. Screw you, Cliff. There, I just said
congratulations,
it.
Congratulations, Cliff. Great win. Really quick. Better sexual thriller, Fatal Attraction or Basic Instinct?
Basic Instinct.
Gotta agree with him there. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Matt, Demi Moore in Disclosure or Sharon Stone in Basic Instinct?
Sharon Stone in Basic Instinct. What?
I'm taking Demi
in her
Disclosure.
Prime.
Oh, but come on with the cross legs. That is a movie moment.
I'm still going Demi Moore in Disclosure.
We talk about sex in the cinema. You know, that always comes up.
All right, last jawbreaker. Last jawbreaker. We'll start this one with you, Matt. Age of Michael Douglas.
He's getting on. And, you know, I think his dad is still alive. I mean, they got some longevity genes in that family. I would put his age at 64.
Your guess, Cliff?
65.
He's a ringer, Cliff. 65 years old.
I was
congratulations on the win. Thanks
it was
for
a pleasure.
Playing.
$1, Bob.
Yeah, whatever. Awesome. Awesome. That was great.
Thanks, Cliff.
Thanks a lot, Cliff. All right, so some Hollywood headlines before we got to...
I'm disgusted
Reno
now.
I tell you, Matt, you lost again. That was a close game, but Cliff
I won 2 in a row here against Roker and Julia Shell.
And that was enough. Here we go. Hollywood headlines. Get this one, Matt. John Cusack will be channeling Edgar Allan Poe in director James McTeague's The Raven, based on a fictional script from Hannah Shakespeare and Ben Livingston.
No relation.
The Raven follows Poe's final 5 days when a serial killer uses Poe's stories as inspiration for a killing spree.
John Cusack?
Correct.
I can see it. Interested. I'm not interested.
I think it's a bad idea.
Oh, you are. Come on, man.
Cusack as Poe? No way.
I can see it.
Get back to the hot tub time machine.
All right, I got one for you. Though both Fantastic Four and its sequel, Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer, turned a profit, both movies were heavily criticized and neither managed to strike a chord with diehard comic book fans. The third movie, tentatively titled Fantastic Four Reborn, will be a complete reboot of the franchise.
Oh, boy.
And rumor has it Adrian Brody will play Mr. Fantastic. What?
That still does nothing for me. I didn't see any of these movies. I don't care for these movies. You're a comic book fan. Maybe you got a little insight here. But for me, the reboot does nothing.
Honestly, I think Marvel has tapped into the movie business model like the Fountain of Youth. Just keep rebooting it every 3 years.
And the audiences keep buying it. I don't know why.
And they always will because everyone loves a good origin.
It's terrible. All right, get a load of this, Matt. Angelina Jolie has found her next project, a romance set during the 1992-95 Bosnian War. And get this, Matt, Jolie may be stepping behind the camera to direct her first feature film, and it would be from her own script nonetheless.
Well, I will reserve judgment.
I
think she might have it.
Yeah, I mean, she's serious about her craft, not just in acting, but I think the whole movie business in general. I'm interested.
She's not just a pretty face, Rye.
I agree.
We'll see what she's got. All right, I got another one. It's interesting when a story goes from a star joking or idly mentioning an off-the-cuff idea to a full-blown story that is circulating the internet. Justin Bieber told The Sun that he'd love to star in a remake of Grease as bad boy Danny Zuko with Miley Cyrus as the innocent Sandy Olsen.
That is terrible. Let's hope it's only a rumor. I don't want to see them ever remake Grease, and especially with Justin Bieber.
Yeah, Justin Bieber. I don't know, man.
That is terrible. Let's stay far away from that idea.
I agree.
Hey, more bad news for Blockbuster, Matt. Google is reportedly in talks with major movie studios to launch full-length video rentals on YouTube by year's end.
This is already in beta, as a matter of fact.
It's amazing.
You can go to Google and YouTube, as it's also known, and watch full movies on there. Just a few very select titles are up, but it's crazy.
There's no doubt it was coming. I'm not shocked by it.
Here's the question. Is this a Netflix killer?
It could be. You're not kidding. It's going to rival Netflix. That was the headline that I didn't read. Is that who they're going after? Not even Blockbuster. They're skipping right by the competition to Blockbuster. Going for Netflix.
Yeah, let's seriously call it as how it is. Blockbuster's dead.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. They're floundering fish at this moment.
Yeah, no doubt.
But
they're like the fish in the Faith No More video on the piano.
I think this is another step for Google to take over the world. I mean, they're entering the movie market. This is crazy. But, I mean, they got the property with YouTube, and why not?
I agree.
I think it's a viable way to get your films in the future. We're going to be renting movies from YouTube. All right, I got a famous tweet.
Ooh, a famous tweet?
Yes, Ben Stiller tweeted this week. Is there a decoder book for Glenn Beck speeches?
Not sure, but I could use one.
Yeah.
All right, I got a famous tweet. Let's see who wins on the tweet off here.
All right, tweet it off.
All right, I got a famous tweet from Roger Ebert tweeted this week. Without Twitter, I would have never known that Bristol Palin was on Dancing with the Stars. Which stars is she dancing with?
Is she a star?
I don't think so. Yeah. I think that's what he was hinting at there.
Yeah.
We'll give it to Roger Ebert.
Yeah, we'll give it to Roger. Not me.
We got a couple minutes left. It's a segment that's been taken off like gangbusters.
Okay.
Has Reno seen it?
It's just me?
Just you.
It's playing against myself.
Yes, exactly. You have not yet completed a full cycle of getting 100% of these.
Okay.
We got five films. Reno's ready. He's the greatest producer of podcast history, but he shocks us at times by not seeing some classic films.
Yeah, not that he's not a film fan. He's a busy guy.
Yes, he is. So we came up with this segment, Has Reno Seen It? All right, Matt.
I'm
five
ready.
Films. We're going in order. You tell me, has Reno seen it or has he not?
Okay.
First film of question. In 1996, a little film called Mission Impossible came out, starring Tom Cruise. Matt, has Reno seen it?
96? Yeah, Reno's seen it.
Reno, have you seen Mission Impossible?
No, I have not.
Oh, wow. There goes my 100%.
There goes your 100%. At this point, you're just...
Right off the bat.
Yes. At this point, you're just...
You haven't seen anything, man.
I've seen quite a few.
He has.
Just not that one.
I know what to get you for Christmas.
Movies?
I'm gonna get you a Netflix account.
There you go.
All right. In 1992, boy, this is when we liked her. Whitney Houston starred opposite Kevin Costner in The Bodyguard. Matt, has Reno seen The Bodyguard?
No.
Reno?
No, I have not.
I don't think if he had all the time on his hands in the world, he would even think about seeing The Bodyguard.
He has not seen The Bodyguard. All right. Also in 1992, Clint Eastwood gave us a Best Picture winner in The Unforgiven. Has Reno seen The Unforgiven?
I know he's an Eastwood fan, but I'm going with no on this one. Hasn't seen
Reno,
it.
Reno, have you seen The Unforgiven?
I have not seen that one.
Sweet.
You got two out of three so far, Matt. You're saving face here. We got two more. In 1988, a film came out called Tucker, The Man and His Dream. Jeff Bridges starred in this
film. Nobody saw that.
Has Reno seen it?
No.
Reno, have you seen Tucker, A Man and His Dream?
I own it.
Get out of town.
Yes, I do. Great movie.
Well, he's a car guy. I should have thought about
that
for a minute.
You should have known that.
I should have thought about that.
You know me better than that.
Yes. So now you're...
But that's about the Model T Ford, right?
No, it's about the Tucker.
The right. Tucker.
That's why
Tucker
they called
the
it
car.
Tucker.
Yes. All right. It's all making sense.
All right. Here we go. Last question to stay above the 50% line.
Okay.
Two right, two wrong. 1983 classic, The Right Stuff. Has Reno seen The Right Stuff?
80s movie, huh? Yeah, he's seen it.
Reno, have you seen The Right Stuff?
Yes, I have.
Hey, you got 3 out of 5.
All right.
You're above the 50 percentile.
There we go. I'm above 500.
So now you know what to get Reno for Christmas.
Yeah, Netflix account. It's happening, too.
Absolutely.
I think you can get Netflix cards at the store. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
If not,
I'm still a Blockbuster guy. We talk about this all the time.
You got to get off of the Blockbuster, dude.
I'm
seriously
still on the Blockbuster. I use Redbox as a supplement every once in a while. But like I say, I love the idea of going to get the new movie when it comes out on a Tuesday and being able to go right to the store with the mailer that they gave me and getting the new one. I don't want to, it skipped the number one on the queue. I want to get the one that I want.
You're going to be hard-pressed to find a store pretty soon.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, but at least I'll clear them out of their library when they're going out of business at the same time.
They're going belly up, man.
Yeah, but it's end of an era for Blockbuster. But
it is. The end of an era for us all.
Yeah, but a new era dawns on us with Google taking over and Netflix and whatnot.
Thank you, YouTube.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So it brings us to an end of another Cinema Jaw.
I know. It's always slightly depressing, but, you know, there's next week to look forward to, right?
Yeah, there always is. This was the fall movie edition, and I think we covered a lot of good topics here.
I agree. So thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks to PBR for sponsoring us.
All our fans on Facebook and Twitter, and our amazing producer, Reno.
Yeah, thanks again, Reno. Always email us any suggestions you got at mattandrye@cinemajaw.com. Check us out on Stranger Days Radio.
That's it. We'll see you next week.
Take care.